Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, this is a letter written from Paul to a church. This is a letter written to be shared with that church, but it was a letter that has been written with the idea that it's going to be passed around. So when Paul says, when I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, he's talking about people. He's got faces in mind. And these aren't folks that have just heard about it and said that's nice. These are people that have heard about it, said that's nice, and then decided to put it into action. I love it. I got word this week of something that's similar with me that's been very, very encouraging. My nephew Arnon, who I went up north for his baptism recently, he had been working for a company, but he had been working in a position that was a temp position. He actually had been hired by a temp company, and he was placed at a place, really, really liked the place, but they had come to the end of whatever the project was, and he understood that his services were no longer going to be needed, so now he's got to find another job. And of course, my sister, Michelle, was very worried for him and was asking him, you know, what's he going to do? And he just told her in his way, he says, Mom, God's got this. God's in control of things in our lives, and I feel at peace that he's gonna help. So I'm not worried about this at all, Mom. And when I heard about that, my heart felt so much joy because here's somebody that I care about that I know has found the Lord Jesus Christ to be somebody that he can trust. And hearing about his faith brings joy to my heart. And that's what's going on with Paul and the people of Ephesus. He's heard about their faith. And he can't stop giving thanks. Remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now, this is not a transcript of a live talk. There's no problem with a live talk, but when somebody's giving a live talk, they're just speaking as on the spot they can organize their communication. No, this is something that was written. And the neat thing about written communication is you can sit and think about it and ponder it and go over it and polish it so that you say exactly what you want to say. And there's different types of writers out there. And I can think of some of the writers that I appreciate the most. There are some sentences that you will read that you almost want to stop and reread that sentence because you realize there's just so much in it. I mean, C.S. Lewis is one of those. I love it. John Stott, who's no longer with us, he wrote a commentary on the book of Romans. And some sentences he writes, you just got to stop and think about it because it's so full of meaning. So as Paul was thinking about, he's wanting to encourage them because he's heard about their faith. And he wants them to know that he feels so much joy every time he thinks about their faith. But now he's shifting it, talking about what his prayer for them is. And just a little side illustration here. Often I find myself in a position where I pray for people. I'm not talking about privately. I pray for somebody one-on-one. Somebody tells me about a situation, ask me if I'll pray for them, I'll pray with them right then. Or I counsel with somebody, and at the end, I'll pray for them. And before I ever pray, I ask the Lord to give me wisdom to know what I should pray. And God gives direction on that. So here, these people that Paul has heard that are going forth in their faith, look at what he prays for them. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. What a prayer! What a prayer! God, give them a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is where you can look at all the information out there and you can kind of put it together and understand what truth is. Wisdom is not the same thing as facts and knowledge. Sometimes people can take all kinds of information and they can put it together in such a way that it seems like it's pointing in a certain direction. And if you're missing out on part of the story, and if you're missing out on some key facts, you can often put together information and come to an incorrect conclusion. Wisdom is not just a collection of facts, not just a collection of ideas. It's an ability to put that stuff together and to see the big picture and to find truth. And so Paul is praying for them that they can have a spirit of wisdom. And wisdom is a creation of God. It is a gift of God. God's Spirit gives wisdom. God's Spirit is wisdom. So he's praying that these people would have that. And look at the second thing that goes along with it. He's praying that they would also have a spirit of revelation. God speaks, but people have that spirit of revelation, will have an ability to see it and to hear it and to receive it. And you know, people have open hearts, tender spirits towards the Lord. They go through life and they're constantly learning and being encouraged and growing in their wisdom and understanding. And you could take people that are not tender to the leading of the Spirit and they can go through the same day living in the same town and have very similar experiences and get nothing out of it. That's the truth. Because their hearts aren't focused on the things of the Lord. They're just going through the stuff. That's why I was talking to you guys before we did communion together. It's like, we don't want to just go through the stuff. Maybe there's an important lesson you haven't gotten yet. I mean, somebody who's a real role model for me in a lot of ways is our sister Nora Barnes. Nora Barnes has gone through the Bible 100 zillion million times. So I guess she could say, well, I already know it all. I don't need to read it. I had a sixth grader one time that we started reading something. It was the Gospel of John. We were reading something. He goes, well, we've already read that last year. I had to stop for a second. I said, so you're all set for the rest of your life now because in the fifth grade, you read through it. We've already done that before. Done. Checked off. No, I mean, there's times when Miss Nora will tell me about something that she, you know, she's seen so many times in her life, but it's like God has kind of opened her eyes, and at this stage in her life, she sees it from kind of a different angle. She has a greater appreciation for it, and it helps her appreciate the Lord, the things he's done. I mean, that's the way we should be. So he's praying that they would have a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. For what purpose? To know the Lord better. To know the Lord better. Boy, in the last nine months, I have had four conversations with four different people that have talked to me about using drugs that they felt like, because they had that certain experience with the drug, that their eyes were opened. I had somebody tell me a couple of months ago, they said, boy, my life is forever changed because, and I can't remember what the name of the drug is, but the drug acted like, it was one of those drugs that altered your ability to perceive reality. And they said, oh, I just feel like my mind was opened and everything's different because I did that drug that time. I said, really? No, the person was sincere. I mean, the person's a business owner. I mean, later on, another person who had been with them and had also done that drug was a Christian person. She said, Doug, that stuff's bad. And I said, why? They said, well, it's sort of like it opens up your mind to certain things. But it's like you got to be on it to experience that stuff. And it's sort of like a lie. And I got thinking about my experience, me personally, my experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I've had an experience that I usually don't talk much about, but there's times when I can feel the Lord so close, and I almost feel like a truckload of love has dumped on me. And it's like I look around, and it's like everything, the sky and the flowers and the grass and everything seems so much more beautiful. And I feel so much love and I feel so grateful for what the Lord has done. And I can feel His Spirit within me. And I said, you talk about the whatever experience that you feel it opened you up that you got from that drug. My experience with the Lord is sort of like that, but it's like I live in it on a regular basis. And let me tell you how it goes. I just want to love the Lord more. And I want to love other people more. And I feel so incredibly grateful for all He's doing in my life. I feel I am just blown away with blessing. So Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church is that they'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so they could know Him better. And I want to tell you, by the Holy Spirit, we can know Him better. And it can do something for you better than any kind of drug ever could, because it's the real thing. A drug tries to make a person feel a certain way, but it only makes you feel a certain way for a little bit of time. But then you got to come back to reality. What you can get in the Lord Jesus Christ is the new reality. Tammy and I were in Walmart yesterday and saw an old friend, and just started getting thinking about things. I'm literally standing there next to the children's car seats, and I was thinking, I have a German Shepherd that likes to wake me up every morning. I've got a wife that's healthy and loves me. I live in a beautiful home. My daughter married the best guy in the world. My son found a wonderful wife, and I have a granddaughter. We like to get together and have dinner. The more I got thinking about it, I was like, I am so blessed.
What more could I want? Do I want a bigger house? No. Do I want more money? No. Do I want more cars or more? No. Do I want to go anywhere? No. I'm unbelievably blessed. And one of the things I think about having the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can know the Lord more, I think it opens up your heart, it opens up your mind so that you can see things for what they really are and you can appreciate them for what they really are. I think there's some people that have so much, but for whatever reason, the way their hearts are tuned, they don't see it and they don't appreciate it and they kind of feel like life has ripped them off and that they're deprived. And the problem isn't that they're deprived, it's that they just can't see things. So his prayer for them, I pray that the Lord would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater privilege in this life. There's nothing. And getting to walk with him, oh. One more little thing here, get back into Scripture. Boy, there's sometimes, like I love reading the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And when I was walking Dave to school every day, I would often put it on my phone and I would start listening to it at my house. And between my house and the church, I could listen to the entire Sermon on the Mount. And these are literally Jesus' words, so it's like Jesus is talking to me. And I'd get walking. I would usually make it to the bottom of the hill before I just couldn't stop weeping. And I'd put sunglasses on so people didn't think that I was like a crackpot walking up the hill. But it's like to know him, what a privilege. To have his words, what a privilege. To be able to serve him, what a privilege. That's where it's at. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope into which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, we don't know what the next step's going to be like, but we know it's going to be good. And his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything for the church, which is his body. Isn't that funny? Our church is the body of Christ. Isn't that funny? What do you think about that? The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. My prayer for you is that the Lord would fill you with a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can experience and know the joy and wonder of your walk with him. I pray that every single one of you would just be so filled with his love that you couldn't help but be a loving person. That you wouldn't have any time for unforgiveness or anger or bitterness. I just pray that the love for God and thanksgiving for all he has done would just rise up so much that there wouldn't be any room for any of these other things. There's no room to be materialistic. There's no room to be angry about politics. There's no room for any of that stuff. That you just start seeing things for what they are. We are a blessed people. The best of times, we're living them right now. There'll come a point where we look back on 2019 and we'll think, man, we had it good. And we did. And we are. Here, I'm going to close in prayer. But before I do, let's just start thinking a couple things we're happy about. Sharon, you get to live with your mom, and you guys actually get along. I know a lot of families that could never do that, but you do. Every day, mom looks forward to you coming home. She thinks you're the greatest person on earth. If you don't believe it, just ask her. We get to see God heal Dennis. We get to hear this. Unfortunately, we were there when they put the port in his lung to drain all the fluid off and wondered if he was going to have to start chemo. But we got to be here when they removed the port. And he's got a CT scan tomorrow. But, man, it appears that the Lord has healed this man. And we got to be his friend. And we get to pray for him. We get to be a part of all that. We get to enjoy Miss Nora. There's a blessing right there. We get to be a part of Aslan and Christopher's life. You know, I could just go on and on. We are a blessed people. Let me pray for you. And then we're going to close the service. And it's going to be good. Dear God, thank you. Thank you so much. It almost seems like this should be a Thanksgiving sermon, God. But it's not like we have to strain to come up with things that we're happy about. And when I start thinking about things that make me feel so much joy, it's faces. I think about Becca and Johnny's wedding. Think about little Leo. Seems like just yesterday was a lump in his mommy's tummy. I think about how much I enjoy watching Jeff play the drums on Sunday. And how much I like being greeted by Jim Latford at the door. Thank you, God. Now, Lord, we don't know what our week's going to hold, but we know we're going to walk with you. And we just want to say thank you in advance. We're so privileged to belong to you. And we know that that's not just a temporary thing. That's for all eternity. We are yours. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.